Well, it's a fascinating disclosure, but I imagine as well that the technology you have available today obviously is better than you've ever had to forecast what the weather is going to be. Is it overwhelming in a way, or does it kind of all make sense to those of you who know what you're talking about as much as you do?
Well, I mean, the technology has come around, and forecasting has certainly improved. I mean, I've been doing this for 12 years, and I remember when I first started, some of the tools that I had then compared to what I use now are different. And I think that the forecasting, the accuracy and the how pinpoint, you know, some of the models that we use and some of the weather graphics that we use, I mean, it's crazy. Like in the short term, I'm talking like 6 hours out. You know what I mean? Like we'll use a model, like, and it'll go into the future hour by hour. And sure enough, like almost identical, that's what would happen. And that would almost blow my mind, you know, but the longer range stuff really hasn't changed a lot. You know what I mean? There's some things that have changed, but a lot hasn't. And so I think people think we have these special computers. I got that all the time, by the way. They're like, well, you got all those, you know, Doppler 4000,
yes.
All those, you know, you got all your Dopplers and
yes.
All your computers there, and you can't figure out if we're going to get an inch or snow tomorrow or not, you know, and you're never right anyway. And so I just want to clarify here on the radio that we do not have special computers, okay? And if a station says they have Doppler 4000, it really doesn't make any difference. There's nothing special about what we have to use, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Most of the stuff that we use is all internet-based anyway.
Wow.
So there's really nothing special that a TV station has to forecast the weather.
It's a frank and enjoyable discussion with Mr. Jared Sebesta. He is a prominent motivational speaker, social media mogul, and, of course, meteorologist for many years across these United States. Now, I want to turn the corner a little bit and start talking about your faith. What point in your life, Jared, did your faith start becoming something that was important to you?
Mostly college. I was up at University of North Dakota, played basketball up there. A good friend of mine to this day, he started a Bible study when I was playing basketball and started going to his Bible study, and that's kind of when it all started for me. And to this day, I was actually, his name is Corey, and he was the best man at my wedding, and I was the best man at his wedding, and we've kind of kept in contact all these years and remain really good friends. So it was back in college.
The intersection of faith in Jesus and the career that you've had in media is something that I'm especially fascinated by, because staying humble is difficult for most everybody when they find something that they're good at. Now, you found something you're good at that people watch you on every night, thousands of people. How did you stay humble when you'd have scenarios where people would come up to you, blame Jared aside, and say, I love you, I watch you on TV, you're a very important person?
It was, you know, and it's very tough. It's very tough, because I would be the first to admit that being on TV, especially at a Care 11, I mean, I worked at a powerhouse station in Phoenix. And people recognize me. You know what I mean? Like, you go out, people recognize you. Whoop-de-doo, you're that guy that's on the news. But there was something, the connection that was made with people in the Twin Cities and around Minnesota and Wisconsin from me being at Care 11 was unmatched. And to this day, even though I don't even work at Care 11 anymore, when I go out, I mean, people want pictures and they want autographs. And I will be the first to admit to tell you that strokes your ego big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Especially for a guy. And you have to intentionally fight through that a lot. And there have been seasons, you know, periods, whether it be a day or a couple of hours, maybe several days in a row, where I'd just be bummed out, you know, especially since I left Care 11. And, you know, I loved the limelight. I loved it, you know. And I loved being that guy. I loved being the kind of the kooky weather guy on Care 11 that people just seem to enjoy, and the
sure.
whole blame Jared thing. And so to answer your question, how did I do it? I still struggle. I struggle with it, and I still struggle with it. But a lot of the time I have to kind of always keep in the back of my mind, okay, where do I find my identity?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is my identity as a Care 11 employee weather guy, or is it in something bigger? You know what I mean? And so that is something that I have to kind of continually and intentionally sort through, kind of navigate through.
And you're in a season of your life now that is unlike what you have been through in the past years of jumping from station to station, I imagine. What is God teaching you in this different season of your life, would you say?
Ooh, that's good. I think a lot of that has to do with what we just talked about. You know, I think it's identifying, you know, where is my true identity. And I think a lot of it too is, you know, I could have stayed at Care 11. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like we had a bad negotiation and it went sour and they booted me out or they got fired or they just, you know, they did away with me. I loved working there. I think that they loved me as an employee. I felt something. I felt in our life there was something lacking, and a lot of that had to do with family time. My wife and I spoke about this, or we talked about this behind closed doors for literally dozens and dozens and dozens of hours leading up to me leaving Care 11. And one thing that we talked about was, you know, what is the life that we want? What is the life we see? What's the environment we see raising our kids in? And how can we have that and work at Care 11? And we came to the conclusion that the life that we ultimately wanted, we could not have while I worked at Care 11 and did TV in the Twin Cities. And so that was the reason I left. And so for me to be able to put my career and even my pride and my ego and put that aside and do that for my family, because we felt like it was what we were called to do. We felt very called to leave Care 11. And be able to navigate through that, I think that's probably the biggest lessons. And again, I'm dealing with it as we speak right now.
Sure.
Not something that I've dealt with. It's kind of like something that I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. So this is a lesson that's kind of, it's ongoing and it's certainly going on even today.
I want to talk a little bit about your financial ministry with the advice that you give. You write blogs at myfaithradio.com. What led you to this scenario where you're giving folks some really strong advice on their finances?
Well, it actually started when we were going through our premarital counseling, and when we were actually living in Sioux Falls before we moved to Arizona. And one thing, I feel kind of bad because we went through all this premarital counseling, and there's like one thing that I remembered. Is that bad? Is that bad? But one of the things that our pastor told us, he said, he goes, when you get down to Phoenix, he goes, you're probably going to want to join like a young married couple's Bible study. He goes, you can do that, but don't do that right away. Or if you do that right away, also do this. He goes, look up Dave Ramsey. And Dave Ramsey, many of you may have heard of him. He does a course called Financial Peace University. It's taught a lot in churches. He's a Christian guy, but he's also a kind of a money guy. He does a nationally syndicated radio show every day. He's written lots of books. I'd heard about this guy through churches, you know, being in the church for now several years at this point. And we got down to Phoenix. We were about ready to buy a house. Of course, we didn't take our pastor's advice and look up Dave Ramsey right when we got down here, but we started looking at homes. We were pre-approved for a loan. Everybody was telling us to buy a house, and something just did not feel right with me. And so I looked up this guy, Dave Ramsey, which our pastor told us to do, and I started reading some of his stuff and looking at his videos. I bought his books the next day. We got them, and I read them in like a day, and I read them with my wife, and we talked about it, and we decided not to buy a house. Instead, we decided to pay off all of our debt and save. That's exactly what we did. We spent 3 years in Phoenix. We saved like crazy people. I got a job in Care 11 in the Twin Cities. We came up here. We put down 50% cash on our first house. We continued to save. And to this day, even leaving Care 11, being able to financially walk away from a highly lucrative job with no job waiting for me and two kids, and being able to walk away and being able to sustain that and withhold that, I guess, you can trace all of that back to the decisions that we made back in 2007 by getting out of debt. And so the story of me being able to walk away at the height of my career in a lucrative career of being on TV and Care 11, being able to do it and make tough decisions for my family, which is what I felt called to do, but being able to do that financially, I don't think a lot of people in America have that power. That is tremendous power to make radical life decisions for your life and for your family if you feel called to do so. But it starts a lot with a lot of the ways that we handle money, and that's why I'm so passionate about it.
Well, and you can definitely tell just as one hears you talk about it, but you wrote just several weeks ago on the myfaithradio.com site about student loans, and it stuck out to me because of what you just said. You made the comment that in your mind, college debt is crippling this generation. Could you speak to that a bit?
Well, I think that, you know, that generation, you know, your lower 20s, I mean, I remember back when I was in my lower 20s, I mean, these people are, they're young adults, they're coming out of college, and they want to take the world by the tail.
Yeah.
And they want to. And the fact of the matter is that no matter how much you want to, if you have $100,000 of student loan debt weighing on you every day, that is going to absolutely be nothing more than an anchor, and it's going to withhold you from becoming everything that you are called to be in this life. You know, I think now they're kind of cracking down on missionaries and having debt, you know, because, you know, again, you have a missionary that you want to go across the world and, you know, preach the word to all these remote countries. The reality is that if you've got $80,000 worth of student loan debt, as you're trying to raise support to do these things, your support that you're raising is purely just paying off a student loan payment, not going towards sending you to the abstract ends of the earth. That's a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
That is a problem. And I'm telling you from experience that when you ditch the debt, the one thing that you get when you do that is freedom. You can free to go. If you want to leave Care 11, you go. If you want to go across the world as a missionary, you go. You want to go change the world in whatever way, shape, or form that looks for you, you go. You have student loan debt or debt in general, that thing is going to be a bowling ball and a chain hanging off your ankles for however long it is you've got that around. I'm highly passionate about that. Again, even my story, being able to leave Care 11, you can trace that decision back, the ability to make that decision 7 years ago when we decided to get out of debt. And student loan, I hate student loan debt. I hate it. And it's becoming more and more prominent. And it's just not uncommon. I have conversations like this with 20-year-olds all the time, and we just kind of start digging. I just start talking, and it will come up, and you know, having $60,000 of student loan debt nowadays is almost common. It's almost more common than it's not common, and that is just. I mean, that's like a half a house. You know what I mean? And What that does for your ability to make decisions and go in the direction that you feel called in this life is just a gigantic hindrance, and I hate that.
That's really fascinating stuff, and you can read the full blog, too, at myfaithradio.com when you just look for Jared Sevesta. But in that same blog, just to what you were speaking to, Jared, you say, spending $60,000 on a degree that produces a $30,000 per year job, which, frankly, is pretty average as well, but you say it's stupid in capital letters.
And that's where, like, we just got to get real. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm certainly not anti-education. I'm just anti-debt. You know, and you know, there's got to be ways. There's ways out there where we can have get your education, but not walk out with this tremendous ball and chain. There's just got to be a way. You know what I mean? It's tough. You know, and I've been there. I was 20 years old once. You know, going up in the student loan center and just signing a paper, and that was a $10,000 loan, and not even missing a beat. You know what I mean? But you know, something's kind of got to be done, and I don't know if that's education or what it is, but you know, what that does to these young, motivated kids coming out of college is awful, and it just kind of drives me crazy.
Last question, what's next for Jared Sevesta?
You know what? I'm just kind of hanging out right now. The original plan was to go back to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and just pick up a job there, and that just wasn't in the works, so we're hanging out at my in-laws in southern Minnesota. I've got some opportunities in the Twin Cities, working my contacts in Sioux Falls. In the meantime, we are having the summer of a lifetime. I've had more family time in these first 2 months of summer than I've had in 4 years. And my son has absolutely come out of his shell. He's been around his cousins all month or all summer. Mm. He was just at the lake cabin with all of his cousins, which are all kind of the same age, for the last week, and I've watched that boy just come out of his shell. He's just about 4 years old, and so right now I am just enjoying life to its full right now. And I know there's an opportunity out there. It's just a matter of time. So in the meantime, we just stay strong and hang out with family and just love it.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much to you, Jared, sir. We wish you all the best. God bless you, sir. And if you want to learn more about Jared, his work, especially from the financial advice point of view, you can head to myfaithradio.com and just look for Jared Sevesta. Sir, once again, we thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. I enjoyed it. Thank you.